BB&E.
So Jeff Bezos, if estimates are accurate, will be worth over $200 billion, which will be $100 billion more than Bill Gates.
Yeah, but is he happy?
I gotta think he's pretty happy. what do you mean
are you happy?
I love it. I like it when everybody says, well, it doesn't mean he's happy. Oh, yeah, he is.
Did you...
I missed the lottery by two numbers. I got 4-6, and I would have been, like, happy. I'd have been happy as hell. You couldn't have told me I wasn't happy.
Dude, that dude's making $250 per minute.
I'm getting closer.
You getting closer to the lottery?
Getting closer.
Too far, and you know it don't matter anyway.
Hey, it is Wednesday on B&E, 18 July. Glad you're with us. Hazy, hot, and Saharan dust is what we're dealing with today. Look at that. Looking out our fourth floor window. We haven't been here in a while. A couple days up in Frisco, Texas, at the Star Complex, the Ford Center.
Hell up there, too.
Oh, man. I was driving through West Texas on I-35 yesterday. My car thermometer read 107. 107. By the time I got to Austin, it was 102. But pretty hot. It's pretty hot. But this Saharan dust, this African dust we've been talking about, is still hanging over the city. So it is hazy and it is hot. And it's going to be 102 degrees today, 103 tomorrow. Enjoy that. Hydrate yourself as we get to midweek and past mid-July now.
Yeah, when it gets hot, when you go pump gas, when you get out of the car and you go pump the gas, and you're like, damn, I need to get back in the air conditioner. It is stinking hot now.
Yeah.
There's a
furnace.
Somebody can tell me. There's a town in between when I used to go to Big Bend. There's a town just before you actually got into the state parky. It's like right on the border. There's a little river. The river goes through there, and then you're in Mexico. But there's a town there that one time I stopped for gas, and I got out of the car, and I was trying to breathe. I was like, oh, my God. It must have been like 110
like
degrees.
Stick your head in an oven?
Well, yeah, it was like, and I stood out there and tried to be cool, pumping gas. Man, I ran into that car so quick, and I was thinking, this car's got to make it. If you can imagine getting your car just petering out on you on the side of the road.
Yeah.
The hottest place I've ever been. I forget the name of the little border town, but it was just before I got into the park.
All right, so great stuff the last couple of days. Thanks to our friends at Reliable Automotive for making that happen. We had great conversations. Yesterday, Dave Wanstead was terrific. Good to talk to Matt Rhule, head coach at Baylor. He was fun to talk to. Jake Trotter from ESPN. We had a good time with him and many, many more. And, of course, Trey and BK then at 10 o'clock, they talked to Tom Herman and Chris Del Conte yesterday because they showed up right as we were going off air at 10 o'clock. And Trey and BK grabbed both of those guys plus many more. All those interviews, podcasts at our website at hornfm.com. I'll ask you this question, Buck. Coming out of Big 12 football media days, we got to hear from the coaches, talk to the coaches, talk to the players, talk to other media, the cover teams. You know, we know last week we talked about the Big 12 football preseason rankings.
Yes.
What are your top three in the Big 12 rankings coming out of Big 12 football media days? Does anything change for you? What are your top three?
Yeah, my top three now are TCU, Oklahoma, and West Virginia.
TCU, Oklahoma, West Virginia.
Yeah.
All right.
I think, you know, when if Kirk Bowles would ask Gary Patterson about elite players, I think he's got enough on offense that he thinks – when you talk about elite players are the ones that can be first team all Big 12. They may not be first team all Big 12, but I think Gary knows how to make talent. He knows how to work the talent.
Yeah, but I think if you
asked
him that in that scenario, I don't know that he would start naming players.
I think he would name his couple of his running backs that are elite running backs in this conference. And I think he has enough of that, and I think he has enough guys on defense. He's just a guy who knows how to. He knows how to make players better. He knows how to make those 3 stars, 5 stars, and the 2 stars, 4 stars. I think he knows how to.
I think TCU wins the Big 12 with an entirely new offensive line. Brand new.
Yeah, I'm fine with
and
them winning
the conference.
And a
sophomore quarterback.
Yeah.
Who
a 5-star.
Isn't the best thrower in the world.
Okay, you asked me. There it is.
I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, because I think they have an elite enough defense. I think they have the best
agree
defense
with you on that.
In the conference.
In
a conference that doesn't have a lot of stars on offense and at running back and at wide receiver and at quarterback, I think that defense can go a long way. That's why I think Texas will hold its water because of their defense.
Agreed. And you know, someone texted said Will Greer is going to disappoint you. I talked to Dana Holgorsen yesterday, and I had gained a new appreciation for Will Greer. The way he talked about him, the way he believes in him. This is a kid who's the son of a coach. He's been groomed to be a quarterback and a leader since he was a kid.
I was going to say he's probably pretty much of a good leader.
Son of a coach, high school coach, and grew up playing. I mean, that doesn't always mean it, but it does. You have a little bit of an accelerator. I mean, that's one of the things that Gary Patterson talked about with his young quarterback, Sean Robinson, is that both his parents are coaches. Dad coaches football, mom coaches basketball.
Yeah.
This kid's grown up, you know, in a coach's
house.
So
he gets
house.
It all the time.
Yeah, he goes home from my house and you're from us, and he's dealing with his mom and dad. So he's a sophomore who's a little bit ahead of the curve. So,
and Coach is a incredible developer of talent. I just think he is. I think that's what Gary Patterson's all about. And I think for Tom Herman, it's just yet to be seen. He just got here.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I think we saw Todd Orlando and his staff do an incredible job developing talent last year.
Yes.
And taking guys that had been struggling on defense and then played lights out defensively outside the Maryland game last year. And, yes, it's up to Tom Herman and his staff to get more out of this offense and develop those guys.
But how many years has Gary been there?
Right, exactly. I mean, he's 18 years in at TCU. You know, because someone texted and said, true freshmen are playing at a high level every year all over the nation. Why Texas did that? Why do we have to be developed before they play well? Well, I mean, Tom Herman did say in his answer yesterday to Kirk Bowles' question about how many elite players do you have, which I feel like it was a bit of a setup question to a story that he was planning to write anyhow. But Tom Herman did say, we got a top five recruiting class, and I haven't seen any of these guys play yet. And they haven't gotten here. We haven't seen them. But a guy like Keontae Ingram, I mean, who knows? Maybe he comes in and he plays like a dynamic freshman. I mean, those are things we haven't seen yet, and you can't know until you see.
He's got him in the secondary. I truly believe that. You'll see those guys play a lot.
Difference makers on the defensive side for sure. And another thing Tom said to that.
Hey, Gary Johnson's healthy, that guy's a difference maker. Come on.
Yeah, no question.
I think he is.
And that's where, again, so Tom's exact answer to Kirk Bowles' question was some about elite players. And he said, I haven't tallied up the difference makers and championship level guys. And I don't know that it's fair to give an assessment with the limited time I have to talk about it. He said, I do think that there are guys on both sides of the ball, more if I'm being honest, on the defensive side than the offense right now. We've also signed a top five recruiting class. I have yet to see those guys even play a snap of college football or practice in college, was his answer for Kirk. But yes, I mean, that's where Texas is. This is year two. They're trying to improve the offense. This is what we talk about. Can Sam Ellinger take a step forward? The offensive line, can they find a running game to allow some mismatches to be exploited on the outside? I mean, that's what this offseason is about for Texas, is becoming more efficient on offense.
For sure.
So they can help out their defense. And if they do that, you know, they were a 7-6 team a year ago. We know they had the four or five close losses. Well, that's kind of the optimistic view. But, yeah, there is still a lack of – you're talking about Texas playing a championship level, playing with the Clemsons and the Ohio States of the world. Yeah, they're a couple of recruiting cycles away from even being in that conversation at this point.
I think they're one away from really, really competing for the Big 12.
Right.
And I don't know why people expect this team all of a sudden to go 11 wins and 10 wins. It sounds like from last year to this year, expectations are so high, which they always are here. But you're really expecting a lot of a very young coaching group, first of all, and then some young talent on offense.
All right, so we'll get the headlines here. Then we'll hear from Tom Herman in our coach's corner. He had a conversation yesterday with our own Craig Way about the offseason and what's to come for training camp, which is now fast approaching. But real quick, is it the little town you were thinking is Lajitas?
There it is.
Lajitas?
Puerto Rico.
No, Lajitas.
Yes, it's hot.
Fajitas?
No, Lajitas.
That place is hot.
Hot.
Go to Vaqueros and get some fajitas?
No, man.
Hey, let's hit some headlines, and then we'll hit the coach's corner here from Tom Herman. UBO Business Services brings you the news, and we'll start with baseball. Quite a game in our nation's capital, the 89th Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Plenty of late dramatics and a lot of home runs. Midsummer Classic, 10 home runs last night. This was a 2-2 game, though, into the seventh inning, kind of a pitcher's duel, but all the runs were scored on home runs. American League got homers from Aaron Judge in the first of the Yankees, and, of course, Mike Trout hit a home run in the All-Star game. He drilled a solo shot in the second. National League responded with home runs from Wilson Contreras of the Cubs, and then the Brewers' Christian Yelich tied the game at 2 in the seventh with a solo poke. But from 2-2 on, it was a bomb fest. Gene Segura from the Mariners ripped a 3-run shot to give the A's the American League a 5-2 lead. Bottom of the ninth, though, Scooter Jeanette of the Reds tied the game at 5 with a 2-run bomb. To the top of the 10th, we win. Extra frames, and Houston's Alex Bregman, fresh off the home run derby the night before, leading off the 10th.
Here's Bregman into left center field. Back at the wall, and gone. Forget the tie. It's 6-5.
Solo shot on the first pitch he saw from Ross Stripling of the Dodgers. His teammate, George Springer, the fellow All-Star, was up next.
Here's Springer into right center field at the wall. That is gone. 7-5 AL. And a couple of Houston Astros go back-to-back in the 10th.
Yeah, back-to-back bombs. Joe Buck on Fox last night, back-to-back on two pitches in the 10th inning. They're going to win at 8-6. The AL's beaten the NL for six straight years. Astros, by the way, had only two previous home runs in their All-Star Game franchise history. Cesar Cedeño hit one, and then Craig Biggio. They're also the first teammates to go back-to-back in an All-Star Game since Steve Garvey and Jim Wynn of the Dodgers did it in 1975. And oh, by the way, his 10th inning knock earned Bregman the game's MVP award. Got a free car. Chose to give that to Camaro that he's going to give to his mom. By the way, looking more and more like Baltimore All-Star Manny Machado is going to be an L.A. Dodger. That trade could be finalized today. According to multiple reports during last night's game, that deal is approaching. It's done, being done. We'll keep you posted. A package of prospects coming back from L.A. for Manny Machado. Big trade news brewing in the NBA as well. According to multiple reports, talks between the Spurs and Raptors have intensified in recent days concerning a blockbuster trade that would send disgruntled forward Kawhi Leonard to Toronto for a package of players that would include Toronto All-Star DeMar DeRozan. ESPN is reporting this morning that an agreement in principle could be reached as soon as today. And according to their league sources, Leonard and DeRozan have been led to believe an agreement is imminent. 2018 British Open, also known as the Open Championship, gets underway Thursday, tomorrow in Scotland. It's a venerable Carnoustie Championship course. First group tees off just past midnight local time. Dustin Johnson, currently number one in the world, the favorite in the British odds makers. Parlor houses there, 12-1. And of course, Jordan Spieth, your defending champion.
Documation is now UBO Business Services. New name, same great people, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Now, if I believe that if there's any Big 12 teams that will get in the Final Four or to play for a national championship, I don't think there's any of them.
I do not.
I don't think any of them. I think they're going to have a number of losses. The winner may have two or three losses in this conference this year.
At least two. You're picking TCU to win the Big 12, and this says if TCU gets average play on the O-line, they'll win the Big 12. That's true. And if I'll say this, if they beat Ohio State week three, which will be a huge test, especially with a fresh, with a brand, we got Nick Bosa and this group at Ohio State. Their defense is nasty. Young offensive line could be in trouble there. And a
two
young
games under their belt if they can get it together.
If they can get grow up quick, as Gary Patterson says, and if they were to beat Ohio State, boy, then wow. Then you start thinking about TCU, but there are a lot of landmines in the Big 12. We know that. But that defense, Gary Patterson grins ear to ear about the playmakers he has on that side of the ball.
When they say the Big 12 is down, I don't think it's down within its conference. I think it's going to be really, really competitive, including Iowa State, who on any given week beat anybody. I think it's going to be a fun year.
I think they're down just from an elite team level because I don't think there's a team that right now you would project into the Final Four.
No.
And last year you had one, so you're down by nature, and because there's no Baker Mayfield. But I think they're up in overall good teams right there. The parity is right there. Yes, because Iowa State is improving. There's no doubt about that. They're all of a sudden not a gimme win.
Kansas thinks they've got a heartbeat going this year. So
they got a bunch of guys back from a team that lost a lot of games. But they'll be better this year, but they're 1-11. And Baylor 1-11, but they think they're better. I think the overall group is improved.
It is improved.
But elite, we'll see. Hey, this says the elite players from Texas are in the NFL. Yeah, that's what I said in my initial comments on Kirk Bowles' column was, well, if Connor Williams, Malik Jefferson, and Deshaun Elliott were back as seniors, which they're not, those would be the names that would rattle off easily.
Right, yeah, but they have to leave sometimes. They have to leave on their own or whatever.
So now you're putting unproven players into those spots, and that's where Texas is right now. Hey, speaking of that, let's dive in at 7:15. It's our Coach's Corner.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
All right, we'll take your picks. Who do you have going top three in the Big 12? 1, 2, 3. Send them to us on the text line. We'll also put it up on Twitter coming out of Big 12 Football Media Days. Now that we've gotten to hear from the coaches and the players and not just the preseason poll, you've heard from them, hear their thoughts. What say you, 1, 2, 3 in the Big 12, and where do you have Texas if you don't have them in the 1, 2, 3 spots? Love to hear from you on that. 512-337-3776. Buck, yesterday, Tom Herman rolled in about 10 o'clock, right as our show was ending. The Texas contingent showed up, and one of the first people that talked to Tom Herman was our own Craig Way.
I usually refer to these things as a mile marker or a signpost as a prelude to the start of the season. But is there anything enjoyable about this deal for you other than the fact that you're that much closer to the start of the season?
Well, I think that's the one thing is, I think you're right. It kind of signifies, hey, vacation's over for us coaches. Obviously, our kids have been training all summer with a week off there during 4th of July week. But, our coaches are back in the office today. I'll be back in tomorrow, and it's full steam ahead, getting ready for training camp. But it's also a way to kind of let our constituents know what we're thinking about, what we're hopeful for, what our goals are, where we're at, where our program stands. And so it's a good way for us to spread the message, so to speak, for, you know, because we really haven't been in front of a whole lot of microphones or cameras in the last few months.
It's been almost 2 months to the day you and I were down at the event in Houston, and you were asked about a variety of things going into to the Touchdown Club thing. And one of those was the whole thing about year-round recruiting and everything going on and visits coming on, and how you were concerned because it takes time away from your student-athletes, your current ones, as much as it does the coaches as well. Have you given any more thought about that? Have you gotten any more clarity from anybody on where all that is?
Just really hard to schedule, you know, and I do think it is a burden to our student athletes. But, you know, I didn't make the rule, and, you know, I think it was kind of, what do they call it, pork bellied into the rule of early signing day that we all wanted. We just didn't know that it was going to demand that much time for our student athletes on a week-by-week basis in terms of having to host and having to be quote-unquote on call and you know, turned on every single weekend.
All that said, now, what's the vibe you've gotten back from Yancey and everybody else with regard to the guys and what kind of shape they're in and how the off-season has gone?
Oh, it's phenomenal. You know, you infuse the tremendous athletes that we did with our 2018 class, and they're not just great athletes, which they obviously are. They are really, there's one or two guys that you probably would say, hey, we need to continue to assimilate them into our culture. But other than that, man, these guys have hit the ground running. I think part of that is because you know, there were seven of those freshmen came in January and say they understand the expectations and were able to communicate that to the guys that just showed up in June. But this team is, I'm at a loss of for superlatives in terms of how much better shape we're in, how much stronger we are, how much more explosive we are, and how much more cohesive we are.
Is it safe to say also, because this is a year or two, you're returning guys who got to experience it firsthand and understand what's expected of them, have then been able to help you and the staff make it a little easier in getting that message across to the incoming guys because they went through it and they can spread the gospel as much as you guys can?
Yeah, year two in the off seasons, I never want to use the word easy. It's more, it makes more sense, I guess. It's not as scary. It's not as nerve-wracking for these guys because they understand. Because we don't change. That's one thing we pride ourselves constantly in, is that we're the same coaching staff day after day after day, and they know what to expect. Where, you know, in year one, it's like, what's around door number two? You know, what's behind door number two? What's around the corner? What do we got tomorrow? What do we got on? Well, what do we do on Tuesdays? What do we do on Wednesdays? And now it's just kind of business as usual.
What's the most comfortable explanation? Is not the right word, but the most comfortable way of describing where you are with your quarterbacks? But since everybody under the sun is going
to
ask
it. Yeah, thrilled to death. I mean, we got four guys in that room that can play, have shown that they can play at a level that you can win with. And so now it's just a matter of, you know, deciding. No, really not deciding. For them to decide by their, you know, performance in training camp, who's going to separate. But I feel... I mean, light years ahead of and better than where we were last year when we had two scholarship quarterbacks, one of them a true freshman, the other one an injured true sophomore who was 5-7. And so this is, I mean, it feels really good.
Final thing here. I know I'll see you obviously at coaching school this weekend for the panel discussion, but beyond this weekend, what's the timetable like to let fans know how everybody ramps into the plan that you and the staff have for the next steps in the preparation for the season?
Yeah, so we will have coaching school this weekend. Our coaches are in the office, so we're in the morning workouts. Our players will work out this week and next week. They'll take about 6 days off. before we report on August 3rd. Us coaches, we will have, like I said, we'll be in the office getting ready for training camp, figuring out installation plans, practice plans, daily schedules for training camp. Coaching school will be Sunday and Monday there in San Antonio. The following weekend will be our coaches retreat. We take our coaches for 2 days and we go work away from the office. We go through our coaching manual, the expectations, the culture building. We talk about depth charts and rosters and summer scouting reports. We have a good time. We eat, we fellowship a little bit, and then we'll come back in about 2.5 weeks and it'll be go time.
This is fun, right?
It is. I'm excited.
All right. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
All right, Tom Herman, yesterday with Craig Way. From there, he went and did his LHN interview and then to the podium and the Fox Sports stuff and all day yesterday with Texas, one of the five teams featured at Big 12 Football Media Days. A lot of folks weighing in on their 1-2-3s in the Big 12 coming out of the Media Day conversations. This says Oklahoma, TCU, Kansas State gets a top three pick. Kansas State with the old ball coach, 79-year-old Bill Snyder. Bringing back his entire O-line and
two quarterbacks.
A couple of quarterbacks. It says Texas 1. How about that? West Virginia 2, OU 3 as a pick of a texter. This says if we can beat K-State in Manhattan, Texas will be in the Big 12 championship game for a rematch with TCU. Well, Texas never beats K-State in Manhattan, but we'll see if they can turn that. But those are the things they have to climb over. And that Texas-TCU game is massive. The fact that game, you're just used to that game being later in the season. The fact that it is the fourth game of the year. It is September. The TCU comes here. It'll still be blazing hot. Who knows what time that game will be.
It'll be after the USC game.
Yeah, Texas will have played USC the week previous.
TCU will have played Ohio State.
Ohio State 2 weeks earlier.
Right.
Or no. Yeah, no, the same week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy that game is that early and both teams coming off huge
games. Can't put all your
games.
Eggs into that basket. Those non-conference games, that's if you want to be in the national picture. You have to beat those teams. But this is about winning your conference. That's your number one goal is to.
And the first conference game is against a team a lot. You just picked to win the conference.
Right.
So, yeah, who were road warriors last year on their way to a 10-win season or 11-win season. I remember TCU beat Stanford in that bowl game. Great bowl game. Great bowl victory. This is a TCU program used to winning. And you're picking them to win it. That's fun. That's good stuff right there. So we'll take your top threes in the Big 12. There's Tom Herman talking about his quarterback position. Yeah, clearly in year two. I mean, last year Tom Herman told anybody, listen, look, we can't afford any injuries on our offensive line. We are really thin, and I've got two quarterbacks. That's it. That's what we've got right now.
Yeah, and we're talking about this group making incredible strides on offense and not getting injured. I mean, injuries are part of what happens.
Right.
These guys have to make huge strides, and they can't afford certain injuries.
None. At least this year they have some wiggle room at quarterback.
Right.
Because remember, there were games last year where they had won because, you know, Bouchel was out. And if Sam goes down, who you go to? And this year, at least you have two freshmen. You have a veteran and a guy who's a sophomore. And then on the offensive line, you know, last year early in camp, Andrew Beck, who was there yesterday, he gets hurt. You also lost Connor Williams, of course, Patrick Hudson, Elijah Rodriguez, all those offensive line injuries and the guys up front injuries happened early. And they were exposed, and they were really, really in a tough place. And year two, you kind of hear it in Tom's voice. They're just more guys. We just have more people to go to battle with, including double the quarterbacks, triple the tight ends, almost double the offensive linemen when everybody gets on campus coming up, including the freshmen. So,
and I believe a lot of the coaches in the Big 12 already know who their quarterback is. They'll bring a couple to the they'll bring a couple to the meetings, but back when the coaches get together, they knew who the quarterback's going to be.
I think Gary
Patterson knows him. He talks about his other quarterbacks like, wait a minute, we got a little competition here. I'm like, okay, yeah, you got a good competition for second place to be the backup quarterback. And, of course, at OU, there's no competition there. The kid who's going to be there for 1 year is going to be Tyler Murray, is going to be your quarterback for the start of the football season. Now, if you told Kyler Murray you're in a huge battle here to get this done, Kyler Murray would be playing baseball somewhere right now with his $5 million.
I tend to disagree with that, but that's just my. I mean, I think there is more of a battle than people because I saw the spring. The spring there was no separation at all, none at all. And a coach can't just hand the position to a guy that doesn't earn it. You know how that goes in a locker room. And I'm not saying that Kyler doesn't have the respect of his teammates, but that begins on August the 3rd when practice begins. You got to go earn that. And if Kyler comes in with any sense of distraction, or this is my job and just give it to me kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Austin Kendall's not just going to back down because he felt like he was head neck and neck in the spring. And You know, that I do agree that Kyler Murray will likely be the starter, but I would not agree that there is no competition, because I think there is. I don't think there's a lot of competition at TCU. I think Sean Robinson's the quarterback with the Horned Frogs. All right, we'll come back. We've got this Texas. TCU gets shafted in the by the playoff again. Texas at 2 makes major steps forward. 3, West Virginia. Dana Holgorsen ruins Will Grier's Heisman bid. We'll talk about it more. Take your thoughts. It's Big 12 football on the brain. All-star game last night with a couple of Houston heroes late. Got BK leading us through Hot or Not. Uh-oh. This is a big national day. A big national day today. We'll get to that coming up on the 18th of July. It's Beanie on the Horn.
It's 110 here in Lajitas. Pinata's on the promenade. Sunday best, painted faces. Lining up for the parade.
All right, Bucky mentioned Lajitas. There it is. That's our friend Wade Bowen. Track off of his new album. Really good song called Day of the Dead about Lajitas and the border town. He'll be part of Coke Fest. Coke Fest is coming. Sister station down the hall there. Coke Fest year 2, hosting the party of the summer August 10th and 11th in Hutto, Texas. Coke Fest is back. 2-day lineup includes country hitmakers like Aaron Watson, Whiskey Myers, Coe Wetzel, Josh Abbott Band, and Mark Chestnut, of course, that guy right there. Wade Bowen, turn that back on. Yeah, Lajitas. That's where Bucky was when he almost died because it's so hot.
Dude, that place is hot as hell. That place is hell. it is hell. It's like just two pumps.
Yeah.
That's all there was at the gas station. I pulled over. From that point on, I just kept looking at the car. Please don't overheat. That's Please don't let me have to stay outside here. I'll die.
Lajitas, right on the border. All right, so get out there for Coke Fest, CokeFest.com. I do think Josh Abbott of the Josh Abbott Band will be in-house tomorrow. We'll chat with him a little bit. That's a fun weekend. General admission, a handful of VIP tickets still available as well. It's in Hutto, Texas, August 10th and 11th. Coke Fest at CokeFest.com, brought to you by Budweiser and Bud Light.
You know, I saw a guy.
And benefits Honor Flight Austin.
In the paper yesterday up in Dallas, and it was all over the news, where a guy at South Padre caught a 14-foot hammerhead shark, and he catches him off the beach? Damn. The hell is that?
He wasn't even in a boat?
No.
What?
He catches a bunch of sharks.
He's like, a shark catcher?
His hands?
No.
The pole?
It died, too.
Oh,
he tried to
the
bring
guy
it in.
Or the wanted, shark?
Well, no, the shark. The shark. He wanted to measure it and then let it go, and it just couldn't revive the sucker. 14-foot. What if you're out there just kind of wading around?
That's long.
Yeah. 14-footer, South Padre. Well, that makes me think about going in the water there. Nada.
All right, Adrian Wojnarowski, the Woj bomb is down, that Kawhi Leonard is on his way to the Toronto Raptors. We told you this deal could be consummated, and according to Woj, it is done, according to Adrian this morning from ESPN. So Kawhi Leonard, a Raptor. And, this deal's been percolating for a while. The Spurs have been... And give them credit. They didn't, they've been very patient and diligent with this thing. They took offers, and it does look like they've worked a deal that from my reading of it, they come out smelling like a rose. I mean, as good as they could have. Now, you, in an ideal world, Kawhi Leonard signs his Supermax contract. Everybody's happy. He's, the building block of the future, along with LaMarcus Aldridge and DeJounte Murray. But once it became clear, and Kawhi made that clear, that he didn't want to be there and wasn't going to be there, what's the next step? What's the best you can do? We talked about a young package of young assets from the Lakers, or a package of assets from the Celtics or the 76ers. But instead, it looks like Greg Popovich and R.C. Buford have landed a 4-time All-Star and all-NBA player who's still in the prime of his career in DeMar DeRozan coming the other way. Well, we don't know if it's just a one-for-one swap or if the Raptors are putting in more. We'll see. But according to Adrian Wojnarowski and ESPN this morning, this deal is done. Kawhi Leonard to the Raptors. DeMar DeRozan coming back to San Antonio, which, I mean, just a fascinating story. I mean, this thing has been puzzling all along. And now this one adds a new level of the, new piece to the puzzle. BK's argument is that the Raptors are tired of losing in the Eastern Conference playoffs. They may not want to make a run to the finals, and they think Kawhi Leonard is an upgrade at the same position over DeMar DeRozan, which he is, and that he will play his tail off because he wants to earn that new contract as a free agent next summer, and they'll ride that all the way to the finals with their very, very deep roster. My theory, I think, is that this is an acquisition to then trade Kawhi Leonard. That would be my thought, is that if you're trading your best player, face of your franchise, for a one-year player, there's got to be a next trade. There has to be a move that you can say, okay, we now have the Kawhi chip, and I can call Magic Johnson, big Magic Johnson, and say, you know what, I kind of like that package that you were putting together for Kawhi for San Antonio. They didn't want to go there because it was in the Western Conference, and it's what Kawhi wanted. We're willing to talk about Lonzo Ball or about a package of young players, including Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, who just won the NBA, the MVP of the Summer League. Let's talk about some of these young players, and we would include Kawhi. And at that point, Kawhi gets to L.A. like he wants to be. He can then sign the max deal with the Lakers next summer, or almost immediately, and that move could happen. But BK is of the opinion that this is just a one-year deal, and they're going to try to do the Paul George thing, make a run, and then Kawhi wants to stay.
That dude wants to go to L.A. so damn bad. He wants to be in L.A. Or as they said, when Magic Johnson starts talking about, this is a two-year thing that we're trying to work out with LeBron. This is for 2 years. Don't panic here.
Yeah, but don't think that Magic, if he could pull it off in 1 year, wouldn't do it. That doesn't mean that
what happens in February or whenever. I mean,
yeah,
when the time comes.
I mean, now we own Kawhi. Let's talk to the Lakers. And you're right. He could come back and play for Toronto October, November, December, and then show that he's healthy and back to being the Kawhi that we saw more than a year ago now. And then the Raptors call the Lakers and say, hey, let's talk.
But what sucks is, what if Kawhi is just soured? You know, as I said, he can still get his money in L.A., even if he sours out. In Toronto, and just makes it really difficult in Toronto. He's still going to get money from the Lakers. They still want Kawhi Leonard. But how sucky would that be for the Toronto Raptors to have that guy for a year and he goes Kawhi on you? You know?
What do you mean goes Kawhi?
Where he just kind of, oh, you know, this leg's not quite working this week. I need off for
let's be fair. This is a huge risk for the Toronto Raptors and their organization. This is a massive risk. The fact that they're and willing to give up a 28-year-old, your star player.
And all indications he doesn't even want to be in Toronto.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's made that clear. That's why I'm wondering if there's a flip coming next.
Immediately, or
shortly, because it does appear that the Spurs were not going to give in to the Lakers and, you know, didn't want to go there. And maybe the Lakers felt like they didn't have to deal. We'll see. Or BK's right, and we'll see Kawhi play in a Toronto uniform. And, you know, the vacuum of no LeBron in the East, it's now a – you know, Toronto, Boston, Philadelphia race in the Eastern Conference, and Kawhi. Because again, Kawhi, if he's going to get max money, he still has to go show he's a top five player in his league, which I think he is when he's playing and willing to play. But we haven't seen that. So if you're a Spurs fan, DeMar DeRozan, 6'7", 220. He's out of Compton, California, played at USC. He was the ninth pick in the draft back in 2009.
He's really good.
He is really good. He's a four-time NBA All-Star, two-time All-NBA team member, played for USA in the 2014 and 2016 Summer Olympics, 2014 World Games, 2016 Summer Olympics. I mean, he's one of the best 15 players in the league, 15, 20 players.
Good player.
And to land that for a guy that wanted out and had you by the gonads, good work for the Spurs. That is well done. Well done. And I know BK through the glass, who's a Mavericks fan, is like, damn it.
Only the Spurs would get this lucky. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They should be getting nothing out of this deal. And
it's good play.
It continues. The run continues for San Antonio.
Yeah, because now you've got – he plays the same position.
Oh, yeah, and if they make a deal with the Lakers and get some of those young players in there with these guys.
And I will say – I keep saying same position. He's more of a shooting guard than a forward, but he is 6'7". He can kind of swing to that small forward role if he needed to.
Well, he can go to the basket. He goes to the basket pretty well.
But the negative is last year in the playoffs – he was benched in big moments against
Cleveland. So he's got a lot to prove.
Come fourth quarter in a sweep against Cavaliers, he wasn't playing.
Benching him.
And there were other guys on the floor taking big shots, not him. That's where Pop's going to have his work to do. But again, he's prime of his career. He's 28 years old. 28. This is not some aging star. This is a guy whose best years should be right in front of him right now with LaMarcus Aldridge, with DeJounte Murray. Continue to add pieces. He's on a huge contract, keep in mind. I mean, they signed into a max deal just last year. And he's kind of disgruntled too at Toronto. But I think he'll warm up to San Antonio and the Pop presence. And we'll see him. This is a huge trade for the Spurs. And we'll see what Toronto does. Are they making a run or are they thinking another trade?
Another trade. Another trade's coming. Toronto can't do that for. They're not going to do that for. No way.
Well, unless they're. Here's another thing I'll put on the fire of conversation is.
Everybody will be fired
Maybe the ownership was a little bit frustrated that they did sign him to a max deal, that maybe they regret that max deal for DeMar DeRozan. This is a way to get out from under that and think bigger picture with a one-year Kawhi, or use the Kawhi chip to begin the rebuild, which would be a deal with the Lakers that includes young assets, you know, Lonzo, Kuzma, players like that, and then you build that way, and you realize that you were faced with it last year. DeMar DeRozan is not a big-time performer come playoff time. He's not the go-to guys. Great regular season player, scores a lot of points, but when you need him most, the chips are on the chips are down. Where's DeMar DeRozan? He wasn't there last year in the playoffs, or this year in the playoffs, that's for sure. This says, when is the trade deadline? Trade deadline is February of next year.
Yeah, LeBron makes him that way. It makes that whole team in Toronto that way. When LeBron is in the East with you, they just crush him all the time.
Yeah, but your star player still has to rise up to that.
Or can be benched.
Yeah, be playing. You can still lose the game, but you've got to be there. And trying to defend LeBron and trying to hit big shots and make things happen. He was not there for Toronto last year. So we'll take your thoughts on that. Spurs have made the deal. According to Woj, it is a done deal. Kawhi for DeRozan, and we'll see if there's more to it.
Machado headed to the Dodgers today.
Yeah, that looks like it's getting done. Machado to the Dodgers, which will be huge for L.A. Of course, Seager, their young shortstop, is injured. So this is an upgrade there. We'll set that. And BK will lead us through Hot or Not. Brian Davis of Hook'em.com and the Austin American Station will jump on with us in the next hour. And we'll find the fun on a Wednesday. It's busy. It's busy. A lot going on. B&E on the Horn.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment is brought to you by the Altstadt Brewery. The Altstadt Brewery won the bronze medal at the World Beer Cup for their alt beer. That's the green label, available now at your local HEB and other favorite retailers.
Hot, 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 and not. The weather today, 102. That'll be hot. Also, All-Star game last night. We'll recap it in the headlines coming up. A lot of home runs. Record by a lot. Also, a lot of strikeouts. That's the state of baseball right now. We saw them both on display last night. Power pitching, strikeouts, and long balls, the name of the game. Also, on the hot side, how about the NFL? You know, people talking about the doom and gloom of the NFL.
Yeah, really.
Yesterday, you know, the Green Bay Packers are owned by the fans. So their financial disclosures are a public record. Unlike, you know, the owners don't have to put out their financial disclosure, but the Packers are.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, the Packers disclosure reported that they received $255 million in revenue from the league, and that the NFL distributed more than $8 billion in national revenue to their 32 teams.
How about that?
255.
That's incredible.
$255 million per team. That's in addition to what they make on their own. Selling tickets.
Well, they say it's close to $14 billion.
It's a $14 billion operation, no doubt. But the league on its national level, this is the money collected by the league that they disperse to the teams, all 32. Again, that's $255 million before you make a nickel selling a ticket or a hot dog or parking.
Yes, or pizza, Jerry World.
Right. They're doing well. The revenue for the league was up almost 5%. Despite
It only says that warning signs are there. That's about it.
I mean, long term, yes, be careful. But right now, and remember, that's going to go up next year because Fox came in and paid for the Thursday night games at a higher number than NBC and CBS were. So that's going to go up. Also on the hot side, trade done. Breaking news, if you're just tuning in, DeMar DeRozan is a Spur, Kawhi Leonard a Raptor. We'll keep you posted on that. Yeah, breaking news. And this from the breaking news front, Terrell Owens' agent says he is dead serious that his 44-year-old client wants to play football in Canada.
Well, have fun.
Get your popcorn ready.
Hey, can't stop a man from going up there and playing some ball. Have some fun.
It's my quarterback. Hey, BK has Hot or Not as well. What do you got there, BK?
All right, gents. July 18th, 2018. It is National Hot Dog Day. You guys down with the hot dogs, number one, and what's the perfect hot dog topping?
Oh, this is easy. The first hot dog I ever had at my first baseball game in Cleveland Municipal Stadium when I was probably 6 years old or 5 years old, a stadium dog with the whatever it was, the stadium mustard that's kind of not bright yellow, but it's kind of a brownish.
Yeah.
Might have been the greatest hot dog I've ever had.
First dog?
That was my first one. My first baseball dog.
Okay.
And at that point, I had the hot dogs in the past that my mom had cooked or my dad would cook. This is a game changer. game changer. Stadium dog with the stadium mustard.
That's all you need. Just
that's
mustard
all I need
on there.
That's it.
I got to have the ultimate dog for me is just the one with the mustard, the raw onions, and the relish on top.
Hey, dragon breath.
Who cares? I'm at the ballpark anyway.
And onions.
Yeah, that's it. Just give me that thing right there. I don't need any chili. You keep your chili and all that other stuff.
I do like a good chili cheese dog.
I don't like No.
I could get down with that.
Gives me the Rhea. A hot dog with chili gives me Rhea. So I don't really mess with those. That's asking for a problem.
Maybe you should get the one at the, you get really Rhea when you go up to the Globe Life Park and get that, what do they call it, the boomstick? That like that 2-foot-long hot dog?
No, I can't deal with that.
Oh.
Like jalapenos on a dog? No, that doesn't work. I just love just some relish and onions, mustard.
People
eat ketchup on their hot dog. I can't do that.
Ketchup's for hamburgers.
Yes.
Mustard is for hot dogs.
Ketchup's for the trash can.
What do you mean?
Word goes.
You can't have french fries without ketchup.
Nope.
What do you eat your french fries
just
with?
Just regular?
Only Whataburger spicy ketchup.
There you go.
Oh, see?
There you go.
But no other ketchup.
Oh, here you go.
Put some Tabasco on the french fries, baby.
Okay. I can get down with that.
All right. It's also a National Sour Candy Day. You guys got a favorite sour candy?
The ones that make you go, your face pucker up, and you're like,
yeah, the warheads, those guys.
Sour candy. I don't know if I have a favorite.
I don't have a favorite because I don't like it.
I kind of avoid that.
All right, guys. Also, National Caviar Day.
What about
as well?
Skittles?
Oh, well, that's me.
You're caviar.
You're a caviar guy?
Extremely caviar.
I've never had caviar.
And Cavalier. So what's the difference?
I don't believe I've ever in my 45 years had caviar.
I don't think I've had it.
What does that say about me?
Tastes a lot like fig jam without the figs. Kind of jammy.
Tastes like fig jam?
Kind of jammy.
What?
Yeah, it just doesn't have much of a taste to it.
So why is it so damn expensive? Some people think it's like the best thing in the world. Or is that just their status symbol?
Where do the eggs from the caviar come from? Is that
fish?
I understand that part, but which fish is it? Is it that one?
Bacon Mayfield.
Not from Bacon Mayfield. Is it the sturgeon? Is that eggs from a sturgeon?
Let's find
that out. I'm going to say the eggs are from a sea sturgeon from Alaska. That's where the caviar comes from.
All right.
That'll just show you how European I am when I get this one.
Yeah, you're right about sturgeon.
Hello,
you're right,
Mr.
You're
European.
Right.
Well done. All right, guys, one sports question here. If, in fact...
Hello, Mr. European.
It does appear the Kawhi for DeRozan trade is going through between the San Antonio Spurs and Toronto Raptors, so I'll ask from a Raptors perspective. Look, the Eastern Conference seems up for grabs, right? LeBron won the East 8 years in a row, but he's obviously with the Lakers now. Most people were pegging the Boston Celtics as the favorites in the East, but does the Kawhi addition helps Toronto supplant Boston as the favorites in the Eastern Conference this year?
No.
Yes. If he plays for the Raptors, that's my caveat. If he plays for the Raptors, I'm skeptical he ever suits up for the Raptors. I think they're going to ship him to Los Angeles where he wants to be. They're not this dumb. They're not going to trade their best player and franchise player for a one-year player. They're going to turn this into something longer term. Have to. Because whether BK is right or not, and they go on and win the East, do I think that makes them the best team in the East? I think yes, if Kawhi's healthy. Because here's why. They were the best team in the East last year with DeMar DeRozan. And they come back with a fully stocked roster, and now they have Kawhi Leonard. That makes them better. That you defensive stopper on whoever you need to in Philadelphia or Boston, that makes them the best team in the East, yes, with LeBron being gone.
Trust the process. Just trust. Keep trusting the process.
Philadelphia could emerge, but Kawhi is an upgrade from DeMar DeRozan. But I don't. He may suit up for Toronto to start the year, but I think they'll ship him come trade deadline. Or maybe BK's right. Maybe they're going to make a run at it for 1 year.
That would
be really dumb.
He'll come up with some injury.
Hey, free health care in Canada.
Oh, that's right.
He's taken care of.
Gosh.
Traditionally, the term caviar refers only to roe from wild sturgeon in the Caspian and Black Sea.
Not Alaska, huh? Sorry about that.
Depending on the country, caviar may also be used to describe the roe of other fish such as salmon, steelhead trout, lumpfish, whitefish, carp, and other species.
Carp? Carp? A gross, nasty, mud-sucking carp?
Just reading it.
The
good stuff comes from the Caspian Sea. We'll be back. We're set your headlines. Brian Davis talks Longhorn football and Big 12 Media Days next as well. It's Beanie on the Horn.